This is Chef Robert Sevely from Flavor of Riverside. Today we're going to be doing shrimp with you guys. We're going to do a shrimp etouffee, which is directly from the South. We're going to do a popcorn shrimp, which we're actually going to use a langoustine with that. And we'll talk about that later. That's going to be buttermilked and deep fried. And then we're going to do like an Asian dressing over the top. All right, let's get to this shrimp etouffee. Basically, I have a Dutch oven, and I'm going to take my Dutch oven lid off, and I've had this heating for a little while. It's not on high, it's on low. And so we're going to move over here, and we have some clarified butter. And this clarified butter, what that means is that I'm removing the milk solids, okay? So if I could show you here, I've basically melted the butter, and I have the milk solids here, which I can skim off the top. I want to save as much of the butter fat as possible. And I've done the majority of that. That's good enough right there, okay? Now, this was about 3 sticks of butter. I don't want to quite add all that. And then butter always has some water in it too, so I want to be careful about adding any of that water at the bottom. I can see it. And so I'm right about there. I'm going to get this turned up, and I'm going to actually go to high. I need a whisk. And then we are going to add some flour. Now, I'm making a roux, okay? Roux is generally clarified butter and flour, 50-50, okay? It can be oil, though. A lot of you, you know, everybody celebrates Thanksgiving in the United States. And a lot of you guys have made a turkey gravy. Well, guess what? When you add that flour to that turkey fat, you've made a roux. So it doesn't have to be butter. It just needs to be some sort of form of fat. But it's generally always a 50-50 ratio. So what we're going to do is we're going to go in here, and I can generally eyeball it. And even though I have everything measured, I'm still looking, watching. And so I've added all my flour, and now with this being an etouffee, a southern kind of Creole dish, most of the time in French cooking, you only take the roux to like maybe a light brown stage, you know, slightly, maybe a slight bit darker than that, you know, like a brown almond color. But we're actually going to take this almost to like a coffee color, coffee with cream color, maybe a little bit darker than that, might even get into the red brick stage at some point. And this will take a little while. So, you know, we'll show you some different stages of the shots here. Right now we're at a blonde stage, what we call a blonde stage. And you can see that, you know, some of the water still is cooking out of that butter, even though I tried to save back as much as possible. It's impossible to keep all of it out. And it's starting to brown that flour. I definitely need to keep it moving. I could probably have a little bit more flour in there, but I'm not really too concerned about it. A little bit more fat than flour is fine versus the 50-50. What you definitely don't want is more flour than fat, okay? Never in that way. Okay, you can see it. It's taking on a different color now. And it's starting to get a little more watery. The flour starts to kind of break down a little bit. And kind of move with the oil a little bit more. What I don't ever want to do is stop stirring here, especially as hot as this is starting to get. I just want to keep it moving. Now, the more I cook this, the more flavor I'm going to get out of that roux. It's kind of a deep earthiness to the whole thing. And some people will wear oven mitts as they do this. So feel free to do that. Now we're starting to get to kind of that coffee with cream color. And, you know, nice, dark, rich-looking color. And I'm going to go a little bit more. Now, how I'm gonna stop the cooking or really slow it down on the roux here is I'm gonna start adding vegetables, okay? And that's gonna really slow us down. So once I get to that point, we'll take one more final shot of it and show you guys at home. And then we're gonna go in with some veggies. Now the veggies that I'm gonna add is what's called the Trinity, okay? The Trinity is gonna be the onions, the celery, and the green bell pepper. And so that's that New Orleans Trinity. All right, we are there. It's a deep, rich, kind of lighter coffee color, coffee with cream. You can see it's smoking like crazy. It smells really good. And so now I'm gonna go in with onions. You can see exactly how hot this is. But these veggies are gonna cool this off pretty rapidly. Remember, keep this moving now too, as well. At this point, I can go ahead and switch over to a wooden spoon. Okay, now my green bells are fine to go in, and my celery, okay. And we're gonna just saute this together. Now, along with this, I wanna add some salt. I'm using kosher salt, and I'm gonna just get some of that in there, and a little bit of pepper. Nice fresh cracked pepper. A few twists on that. And we're just gonna kind of saute this together till like the onions start to kind of turn translucent. Now that can be a little bit tough to see with this roux in here, but you know, we want it to get nice and translucent, and that's really ready to go because everything was so hot. Now the other thing I'm gonna add is some red bell pepper. And I add that for sweetness. You know, that red bell pepper is nice and sweet, and that's gonna give us good flavor. Then, I'm gonna add some garlic, okay? And then go some of that garlic. Nice, beautiful garlic. I don't need quite all of it. I want you guys to notice how I got myself set up. It's called mise en place, is the French term for this. And I know you guys hear me talk about it in other shows. This is really gonna set you guys up for success, okay? The fact that I did all my knife work ahead of time. You can get stuff like this at, say, Smart and Final, or maybe in Costco you might be able to get a whole bunch of them. And, you know, I can easily get all my prep work all into there, and then I can just go along with the recipe and just add it as I need it. It makes it really simple on you at home, and you're gonna enjoy cooking a lot more. The next thing that we're going to get in is all of our tomatoes. These are my home-grown tomatoes. Now, these have been peeled. I'm going to show you later on in the show how to peel a tomato with a serrated peeler. And it's just nicer. I'm not going to end up with the tomato skins in here because this isn't going to get pureed or anything like that. So the tomato skins, if I didn't take them off, would almost feel like a piece of hair in your mouth or a little piece of plastic. And that's definitely not what we want. All right, tomatoes are in. Let's go ahead and go in with our bay leaf. This is fresh bay leaf, which is phenomenal to have. You don't usually see it, but Trader Joe's and stuff, you can buy fresh bay leaf. Lastly here, before we get our shrimp in, and our stock is a little bit of cayenne, okay? I mean, it is New Orleans. Now that's up to you. If you don't like the heat at all, just leave it out. We also need a little more salt, okay? One more pepper. I just wanna season as I go. I wanna build flavors, okay? We are stacking up the flavors as we go. And so each time we're adding salt, we're adding pepper, and that's bringing out the flavors and helping them meld together. Now, I know this isn't gumbo, but sometimes gumbo filet is nice to add to this as well, which is a type of plant on its own, almost like a sage plant, but similar but not the same. Okay? All right, give this a stir. You can see this is still pretty dry, and the roux is thickening up any kind of liquid that's coming off these tomatoes or anything like that. So it definitely needs stock, all right? So next, we're gonna add some stock. I'm gonna be really careful about this in the studio, and I'm not gonna really strain it. I want you guys to strain it at home. I'm mostly just gonna hold something up to it so I don't get all the little veggie particles. I'm gonna add my stock in. Okay, real simple. Okay, now we have our liquid in. Give this a stir. That is beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. Gonna let that come to a boil. Meanwhile, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna bring out all my shrimp that I've already cut in half. And I've already deveined, deshelled them, okay? And I have a little bit of Cajun seasoning here. You guys can buy like a Cajun seasoning, like a Paul Perdon Cajun seasoning, or even an Emerald Lagasse Cajun seasoning. It would be fine, Essence or whatever. This is just my own little mixture. This is a little cayenne, paprika, Cuban, onion powder, garlic powder, a little bit of salt, a little bit of black pepper. Just a nice little mixture of some stuff. It also has some mustard powder in it. All gives it a little bit of heat. I'm just gonna coat the shrimp in that. And believe it or not, we're up to a boil. Remember, these shrimp cook really fast. Once the shrimp goes in, a timer in your head or a timer on the stove or whatnot needs to go on. These shrimp are only going to take probably about 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. You know, these ones are thin, so I'm going more closer to 3 minutes in this boiling liquid. And then we're going to shut it off and we can go ahead and serve it. Now, how soupy do you want this thing? I can let this cook down, and the more this cooks down, the more this kind of boils together, the thicker it's going to get, okay? The other way is don't add quite as much liquid is one thing that you can do as well. And so, you know, we're just going to sort of cook this down a little bit and then go with it. So really, the thickness is up to you. You guys play with it at home, please. But it looks good, it smells great. It smells like the South in here right now. Now I'm gonna bring this up. I'm gonna add those shrimp. Okay, gonna get that stirred in here. It's absolutely gorgeous. We could probably, if you wanted to, you could add as much shrimp as you want. I could add clams to this. I could do this with crawfish, you know, crayfish or crawdads, whatever you want to call them. I could have done this with the langoustines. We could do it with mussels, clams, a whole array of combination of seafood, scallops, okay? And then if you're completely and totally allergic to shellfish, don't be afraid to do this with chicken, okay? And then obviously we'll use a chicken stock. It comes out beautiful that way too. All right, so this is ready to go. I think we're gonna go ahead and plate one of these up. I'm going to add just a touch of lemon to this. Get no seeds, okay? We're gonna add a little bit of parsley, herbs always at the end. A little bit of green onion, and we're gonna save some of that for garnish. All that adds a nice little freshness to it, Okay. Then I've made some rice. Some basmati or jasmine is perfect. Just some steamed rice in your rice cooker. And you can see nice and fluffy. And we're just gonna get some of this right down into the center of the plate. Like so. Kind of make a well a little bit. So the etouffee has somewhere to sit. Then go ahead and grab a spoon here. And come right up, grabbing all that good stuff right into the center. Look how beautiful that looks. And this is as much or as little as you want. You know me, I'm a big eater. And we're gonna give this a wipe. Make sure our presentation looks good. Here again, a little bit of parsley, a little bit of green onion. And that is our shrimp etouffee over white rice. Gorgeous, really gorgeous. For our next recipe, we are gonna do the buttermilk langoustines. We're gonna do them almost like, you know, chicken nuggets are the rave right now. And so we call these like popcorn shrimp or popcorn langoustines. What is a langoustine? Well, these are the tails. Let me find a really good one here. Here we go. These are the tails of a langoustine. And really what they are is almost like a mini lobster. I know we're doing shrimp today, but they're almost mixed between a lobster and a shrimp. What you might want to refer to them as is like a saltwater crawfish or crawdad. Okay, so this is just the tail of them. They are fully cooked, they're ready to eat. They're a little bit stronger than like a shrimp, and they don't really taste like lobster either. They definitely have a shellfish flavor to them, but they taste a little bit different. And so what we're gonna do is we have these ready to go. They come frozen. You can get them at like Trader Joe's or maybe a nicer supermarket somewhere. Something else that would work would obviously be shrimp. Even cut up, bigger shrimp cut up or something like that. But there's another product on the market that's called rock shrimp, and that's real similar to these guys, but the tails are raw. I like to use the cooked ones. It makes my frying time a lot quicker. I don't ever have to worry about serving anybody a raw tail or anything like that, which is nice. We have some buttermilk here, and I'm gonna crack an egg into here. And we're gonna just kind of whisk this together. And so egg and buttermilk. And then what we're gonna do is we're gonna do kind of a basic breading station, which your basic breading station usually is flour, the egg, and then the breadcrumb. Well, this is a mixture of panko breadcrumbs, which you can see I'm kind of bigger in there. We have a little bit of cornmeal, some flour, and some cornstarch. Just a good mixture. What I do need to add to this is a little bit of salt. So we're gonna come over here, add a touch of salt. Okay, get that mixed in really well. You know, just a couple of pinches, maybe like teaspoon and a half of salt. And then we're going to take our langoustines. We're gonna get these into here, like so. I'm gonna take something like a fork and just sort of get them coated. And mostly they're going to coat with the flour right now because there's nothing really wanting to hold them together. And just get them dry. Now I'll get my hands in here. And we're going to shake off the excess and get them into the buttermilk. Now meanwhile, while I'm doing this, I have my oil. My oil is over here on the side. And we are going to 350 degrees, maybe a little bit hotter. And so that way the shrimp will cook and get nice and crispy. I always go, you know, you want to at least cook at 350, okay? The reason for that is so we don't end up with a greasy product. Greasy meaning that we cooked it too low of a temperature and the batter or the breadcrumb has actually been able to soak up a bunch of that fat. So now we're going to get over here and we're going to get these all nice and coated as best that we can. I'm using a fork. And I want to try not to make a batter or dough out of this. I'm just getting them coated. Then I'm going to reach in here. I'm going to end up with dumplings on my fingers, that's for sure. And I'm going to get these really coated in the batter now. Let me go ahead and grab a plate here. I'm going to bring this over. And we're going to pull these out of here after they've been coated. And you can see I want them like individually coated. It's going to take me a little bit. Okay, so now we're ready to go. We're ready to cook. Over here, I have my oil, 350 degrees. I want to make sure I turn it all the way up to high before I start adding shrimp, okay? And we're actually just about there. I do have a deep fat frying thermometer that's telling me how much the oil is if you're going to do it like this. If you have one of those deep fryers to just plug in, feel free to use that. That's great. I'm using peanut oil. Do be aware of that. Like I can use vegetable oil, grapeseed oil, sunflower oil if you want to. If you are going to use peanut oil, if somebody's allergic to peanuts, which seems to be pretty common these days, do be aware of that, okay? So now from here, I'm going to go ahead and remove my thermometer since I know the temperature. And I'm going to go ahead and try to get these, for the most part, all in, all at the same time without splashing myself badly. And once they are all in, I can get rid of this plate here. And then I'm going to take a saute pan. Now, normally you'll see me putting these on a wire rack or on some paper towels, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to toss these right in with, this is one of my favorite sauces. This is a Thai chili spicy sauce. What's funny about it is the only words in English on it is sweet chili sauce. It used to actually say for chicken. It doesn't say that anymore. They've gotten wise to that one. I just looked down at the bottle. This is a brand that I always get. And so that's ready to go. Then I have some sesame seeds, black and white. I have some chives. And I have some green onion slices. The actual onion, the white part of the green onion. Now, I also want you to notice, once I got the langoustines into here, I didn't put something in and start stirring them around right away. I let them sit. I let them come up on their own. If I get something in there and stir them around right after I put them in, all that's going to do is that's going just to knock all the breading off of them. So let them hang out. Let them do their thing. Now they're starting to turn a little brown. It's been a minute or so. I can get in here and I can move them around a little bit and see how gorgeous they look. Now we don't want to overcook them either. They're already cooked. So slight golden brown, that's I'd say we're right about at the 3 minute mark. Let's get them out of here. Just give them a little shake into my saute pan. Do not forget to shut the oil off. I just turned that oil off. I can put a lid on it, okay? I can move it up and away, especially if I have other things that I need to do as far as our meal goes tonight. Notice that that is hot. We need to let that fully cool before we start messing with it and trying to like put it away, get rid of it, okay? So now we have these beautiful langoustines. We're going to go with the chili sauce right over the top. We're going to give those a little toss in the pan without throwing them all over the place. A pair of tongs. I'm also going to add a few sesame seeds, a few chives, and some of these green onions. Okay, then I'm going to go into this dish and we're going to plate a nice bowl. If you want to go like right in the newspaper or something like that, you can. I'm going all over the plate. Not a big deal. You guys at home, just have fun with it, okay? But there is our popcorn langoustines. Here, we'll clean this up just a little bit. Pull this off here. That would have been a better idea to do. But you know, sometimes the idea doesn't come until we've experienced the wrong thing to do. Just clean that plate, no big deal. Let's go ahead and re-garnish chives, sesame seeds, a little bit of the green onion. Set that on the plate. And there, you know, maybe we're ready for a movie right at this point. Sit down, have some popcorn langoustines, popcorn shrimp. We could do this with chicken. It's beautiful. We're cooking. People are going to love this all day long. They're really going to enjoy it.